Well, let the church say amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of prayer. We thank God for this day that he has made, and we come to celebrate this season of the year that we call Christmas, that we look at and we observe the things that our marvelous and amazing God, the things that he has done. Amen. For he is greatly to be praised. Amen. We had a hymn this morning that we're going to be singing, number 287, Christ is All. All in all, the world to me. Now, you're probably wondering why we're not singing a Christmas carol. And the fact is that this message is about Christmas. It is about the coming of Christ. Amen. So may we all stand. And while you're standing, look at someone and tell them, good morning. And if they're frowning, tell them, change your face. Amen. Christ is all. Just going to sing one verse of that and the chorus two times. Amen. I don't possess houses or lands, fine clothes or jewelry. Sorrows and cares in this old world my lot seems to be. But I have a Christ who paid the price way back on Calvary. And Christ is all in all, this world to me. Yes, Christ is all. He is everything to me. Christ is all. He rules the land and sea. Christ is all. And without him nothing could be. Christ is all in all, this world to me. Sing chorus again. Christ is, yes, Christ is all. He is everything to me. Yes, Christ is all. He rules the land and sea. Christ is all. And without him nothing could be. Christ is all. All in all, this world to me. We invite your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and also verse number 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. As others are gathering this morning, we certainly are in a good month. My favorite month of the year. And we celebrate birthdays in December, and I want to recognize all of those. We'll do that in just a minute. But certainly we are grateful for this time of the season that we celebrate the birth of Christ. In the beginning. What does that mean to you? In the beginning. It has a much deeper meaning than any of us can even imagine. It goes outside of time.
even before time began, in the beginning. This reminds us of the gospel of John, where he says, in the beginning was what? The Word. It also reminds us of Genesis chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning, God. Now, in case you're thinking that those scriptures are not referring to the same thing, it all began with God. Say that with me. It all began with God. It all began. It all began. Long before there were bows and decorations, God started Christmas. Y'all don't seem to be excited about that. It wasn't something that was dreamed up. This was God's creation and a part of what God was going to do to magnify and glorify his name in all the earth. I'm going to share some things with you from an eternal perspective, because there are a lot of us, we're losing focus on the things of this world rather than focusing on the things of God. We're looking out rather than looking up. We're observing the things of man and not looking and paying attention to the things of God. So when it says in the beginning, I want you to understand that God, who was outside of time, decided that he was going to do something in time, but first he created time. So when it says in the beginning, that didn't start God. God was already eternal. He is the eternal existing God. And you and I cannot wrap our minds around that, but what you can do is accept it by faith. You can believe that God is the one who created everything, including time. So when you read that verse, read it from the perspective of this eternal God creating time. And God, who created time, also had a plan before time. I'll get into that in just a minute. But I want you to wrap your minds around two things today. One, the eternal existence of God. The eternal existence of God. But then secondly, I want you to think about, how did this eternal God manifest himself to this world? If you miss either of those, you will miss the very fact and the very essence of what Christmas and the celebration of it is all about. I'll share more on that in just a minute. But I want to share with you from this topic, Christmas in the beginning. Christmas in the beginning, the birth of Christ before Christ was born. That's insane, isn't it? And our little feeble minds cannot even imagine, how is someone born before he was born? And yet there were scriptures upon scriptures. There were prophecies upon prophecies about the birth of Christ. And so the birth of Christ is not the bringing forth or the creation of God. It is about Christ coming into this world and God clothing himself in flesh and becoming man. Now, why did he do that? He did that so that you could become a child of God. Otherwise, his birth is just an historical fact. It's just something that they recorded, and the year that Augustus decided that he was going to have a taxation, it's just a record. Now, you and I, when we were born, they recorded a record. But when Christ was born, this was to change all of history and all of time, because of Christ coming into this world. Let me just share with you a little bit about what we're talking about. We're talking about God's plan. Everybody say God's plan. God's plan. If God did not have a plan for time, then time is meaningless. Time has no purpose. It is just a random thing that happens, or random events that happen, but everything in the Christian's life has a purpose and a plan. It's all by God's grace, and it's all for God's glory. If you don't believe that, then your life is not going to make a lot of sense. Even at your worst times, when you're facing critical situations, life makes sense if you believe in the beginning, God. If you stop believing that, everything else is going to become chaos. The world is going to become one big mess. And you're going to believe that it's all going to end just in a puff of smoke. But I believe that the eternal existing God said in the beginning, which means he started everything. He started everything. And I also want you to know that not only did this plan include in the beginning was the word, that word that he's talking about is logos. I looked it up. It means the full expression and the full embodiment of all that God was in Christ. So when you think about the word of God, as it says in John, without him was not anything made that was made. All things were created by him. All things were created by him. God the Creator, God the Father, as we refer to him, and God the Word, the expression of God, the Logos, they created everything, and they had this relationship between them called the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit, and that's why Jesus said, when you have accepted God in your life, he said, I and my Father will come and we'll make our abode with him. So when God sent the Holy Spirit, that was God the Father, God the Son, now residing in your life so that you can know him, you can walk with him, you can have fellowship with him. This unknown God now becomes known because we've accepted him by faith. I know that's deep. I know that's deep. And the only way that you can understand it is that you must believe that God the Word came into this world. When I first started reading John, I said, why did he skip over the birth of Christ? Why didn't he talk about the birth of Christ? And then when I read these verses a couple of months ago, I said, he did talk about the birth of Christ. But he didn't start in the manger. He rolled it back to the beginning of time where God had already had a meeting among themselves. And God, and I said, yes, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are three in one. We don't know how that works. We don't know how it works. Yet we know it is an expression of God. They were the ones that decided that we're going to do these things. Everything is a plan. We're going to do this. And then they stepped into time and said, let's get started. And when you read in the beginning, that's when God got started. Not God was started by time, but God started time. He set the clock. And I want to tell you that day by day, tick by tick, the clock is winding down. If time had a start, it also had or has an ending. And God designed it that way. But in that plan, God said, we're going to perform this thing called redemption. We're going to redeem man. Well, how could he redeem man if he didn't already know that man would sin? Do you hear what I'm saying? So John 3:16 is not God's response to, oh, man is sin. I got to do something. God knew that from the beginning. In the beginning, he loved humanity. In the beginning, God loved this world. And so he sent his son. And we have this miraculous verse, this verse that describes the incarnation where God would take on flesh and would be like you and I. God's plan was from the beginning. If it has no purpose, as Ecclesiastes brings out, to everything, there's a time and a what? A purpose. God has this an amazing plan. But also I want you to grab in your mind, grab hold of this, that God's presence is real. Not only his plan, but his presence. When we pray, we often pray, our Father which art in heaven, and you are correct. But heaven is not just some location far, far away. When you have God in your life, the incarnate Christ coming into your life, now you're praying to God and he's already in you. You can't get any closer than that. You ever had people that tell you, well, my thoughts will be with you? Now, they're thinking about you, but God is in you. God is closer than your next breath. He's closer than your next heartbeat. God is with you all of the time. Why? Because this verse says, and the Word, which is God, the full expression of him, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You ought to clap your hands to that. No one else had done that. No one else has done that. Only God could bring his presence into this thing called time. Now, I'll show you how amazing that is. There have been many artists that have sat down with a canvas, and they've gotten their oils or whatever they were going to either draw or paint, and they would express themselves on the canvas, but they could not put themselves into the canvas and live. Now, you missed that. You missed it. You missed it. Good artists, Michelangelo and all of the other artists that had painted, they have done these marvelous works, but they could not make themselves live on that canvas. Are y'all listening to me? A carpenter who builds a house, who constructs it, he'll put the boards together, he'll put the nails in place, but he cannot put himself into that house and actually live as that house. But here is God. Here is God Almighty, clothing himself with flesh and becoming like man, but it didn't weaken him. He was still God, and he's still good. I wish you'd look at somebody and tell him he's still good. He's still good. God in the body. So I want you to think about his plan and his presence. What that means to you and I today is that you'll never have a moment where you're alone if you have God in your life. You don't have to worry about the struggles and trials of this world if you have God in your life. Yes, it does not mean that you'll not have difficulty and you'll not have things to happen in your life, but I'd much rather have my trouble with God, with him on my side, than to have the trouble and the trial without God. How many of you know that if it had not been, oh Lord, have mercy, if it had not been for the Lord, who was not only on your side, but in your heart, you would not have made it. But thanks be to God that he is with us. So what is John trying to tell us? He is trying to tell us that this eternal God stepped into time, did not disrupt and did not destroy time, even though he could have. There's no way in the world that eternity can come into that which is contained and yet not destroy it. Throughout the Old Testament, you'll find where anyone who sees the presence of God without the covering of God, he would be destroyed. But thanks be to God, we got a covering. We have a covering of God that is through Christ our Lord. This amazing and all-powerful God stepped into time and did not destroy time. You know, I'm kind of the person I like to make use of everything. I'm what you call a utilitarian. I try to make use of, don't throw away anything. Got that from my mama. You know, you go to church and you get a plate and then you get a cup and you bring the plate and the cup home. You eat what's left in it. Then you wash it and you keep it. Plastic cup, you still drink it out of it after 6 months because it ain't cracked yet. You know, and we look at these things and we see this amazing God who stepped into time, who could have very well destroyed time with his presence. Because, and when you look at God and how great he is, this universe, as Solomon says, he can't even fit himself into this universe unless he does it based on the plan. That's how amazing God is. That's why he has no one that is compared to him. He made the universe, and watch this, he made the universe, but the universe cannot hold all of him, and yet he made a body, and now the body can. Lord, I can't wrap my mind around that. All I can tell you is God planned it, and God did it. All right, so go with me just a few minutes. We are almost out of time, but here's God. First thing you need to grab in your mind, here's God entering into time. Entering into time. Some of you are thinking within your mind, wow, man, these problems are taking up all of my time. No, they're not. No, they're not. You're just getting distracted. You're getting distracted. This amazing God still has control of time because he started time. As a matter of fact, he owns time. Are y'all with me? Next time you face a problem, just start counting and start telling yourself, this problem did not come to stay. It came to pass. Tell yourself that because the Word stepped into time, but watch this, because if you do what John 1:6 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. This God who stepped into time, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Look at this. And the Word, what? Was God. Was God. Now watch this. He's stepping into time, but John 1:6 says he'll come into your life. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Time now has an invader that it can't boot out. I know they're saying, well, we don't believe in God. That's on you. And the world is saying, well, we don't know whether God is real. That's on you. All I know is he's real because he's real in my soul. He's real in my heart. And I believed in him. The Bible says if you believe on him, you shall have eternal life. God planned it and God did it. But not only did he step into time, the Word became flesh. Now, why didn't he include Mary in this gospel? Because the focus was not on Mary. Mary was the prepared vessel. But Jesus is the subject of what's happening here. And John said, I don't want you to lose your focus of how the Son of God came into this world. He took on him a flesh. He was not an angel. He was very God in a body. And he said, Mary, I need you to be the vessel that we're going to do this great work. And she said, okay, Lord, if this is what you want, I don't know how it's going to happen, but if this is what you want, then let it be so. Now, if you think that's strange, when God comes into your life, God says, I want to use your body. Oh, God, I'm just filthy. I'm a wretch. God said, you haven't heard the rest of it. I will pick you up. I will turn you around. I'll make you a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are new. You are new today because this Word who became flesh has now come into your life to change you. Do you think he impacted Mary? Oh, of course he did. And yet the same child that she gave birth to, she would now have to call him Lord. Isn't that amazing? That's this amazing God. So we believe that the Word became flesh. Here's what I want you to look at. Here's what you want to look at. If you take out the parentheses where it says, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. That's the only thing we took out. It didn't change the essence of the verse. Now some of y'all are not going to get this. Some of you are not going to get it because you're thinking, what's he talking about? Read it for yourself. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, in the parentheses, you would have, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. We're going to get back to that. But I want you to see the Word became flesh, all right, and dwelt among us. But what does it say? Full of grace. Full of grace. There are things on this earth you can't get into one container. But yet God said, I'm going to get all of me into a little tiny baby and going to fit it into a manger and it's going to fill the world. Oh, Lord. You don't see it. All the grace you need, all the truth you will need. A lot of folk believe in half truth. Amen. Just because they say it on TV doesn't mean it's real. Amen. We're not talking about fake news here. We're talking about real God. Are y'all listening to me up in here? Full of grace. Full of grace. You know, the devil will lie to you. He will tell you, oh, this ain't gonna work out. Oh, that ain't gonna happen. Oh, yeah, you're not gonna make. Remember all the times you fail, but yet this God who is full of grace and full of truth has the audacity to tell you, I'll always love you. I'll always care for you. I'll always make a way for you. And you've got to believe in him. Whose report do you believe in? Whose report? Do you believe the gossip or do you believe the gospel? Now, if you believe the gossip, I can't help you. But if you believe the gospel, then I believe that God will fill your life with the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Amen? Now, add the parentheses. It says, and we beheld his glory. See, I wanted you to see the first part. Don't minimize Jesus just because of the issues of life. Don't minimize who he is because he's full of grace and full of truth, but here's your part in the parentheses, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. When you come to church, hear me well, get your mind off your mess. You'll never see God, well, I remember what so-and-so, forget about that. That's not going to impact your eternity. Well, I remember somebody at work, they didn't like me. Is that true? Is that going to keep you from eternity? Look at him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Some of you are going to go through this season, and right after Christmas, you're going to go back to the same thing. All messed up in your thinking. Because you did not behold his glory and who he is. He's this wonderful God who came in the flesh to show himself to you. Have you ever had people to introduce somebody and they'll tell you, I want you to meet my friend. I want you to meet someone that's impacted my life. Or I remember when I used to go to meetings, or still do, and I introduced my wife. I said, this is my wife. They said, oh, she's so pretty. I said, don't tell her that. Her head will swell up. But when you introduce God, this is my amazing God. This is the one who brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is the one that when I was lost, he found me. When I was confused, he gave me peace of mind. This is the God that walked with me through the storm. This is the one that is a shelter to me. This is the one that puts food on my table. I don't want you to confuse it with somebody else. Only God could do these things for me. Only God could make a way out of no way. Only God could turn things around when I didn't know which way to go. Only God. And we beheld his glory. Now, John is giving a testimony here. He's including himself. That word we says that we looked at him. We observed him. We handled him. Now, you and I can't go back in time and physically touch Christ. But the powerful faith that you've been given in Christ can cause you to embrace the reality of who he is. And when you start looking at who Christ is, then all these other things, the decoration, they're going to make, oh, yeah, that's how he's made my life. Oh, yeah, that's now I can celebrate Jesus because I see him, and now I can see the world through him. Give the Lord another hand on that one. Yeah, that's good. And then lastly, before we look at the celebration, we got to see that being in the body did not change him. Where do we get that from? Philippians 2, verses 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you. Now, why did he start with that? He started with that because many of us do not think from the essence of Christ in us. We think, well, this is just me. This is happening to me. It ain't about you. It's about God in you getting you into eternity. And you can get messed up in time and then put these things in your life called idols. By the way, you can spell idol two ways. I-D-O-L, and then you can spell it I-D-L-E. Either way is bad. You can let people talk you out of doing what God told you to do. That's when you get idol, I-D-L-E. And a whole lot of church folk get messed up into idleness because they're looking at things that don't really matter. This too shall pass. I can shout on that one. But an idol, I-D-O-L, is when you think you all of it. And you don't look to him. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at this. Who being in the form of God. Well, when was he in the form of God? He was in the form of God from the beginning. When he stepped down into a body, he was still God in a body. But he didn't look at it as something, well, I'm equal with God, and now I'm going to use this as an advantage. No. He made himself of no reputation. He said, let me take off the crown just a little bit. I'm not going to change my essence of being God. So I want to let you know, sin could not overpower him. As God, he could not sin. Even though he was in a body, and the devil said, I got him now. He's hungry. By the way, y'all know y'all get evil when you get hungry. I know I do. He was hungry and the devil tempted him every way that he could. And Jesus kept coming back and quoting the word because he was the word. He made himself of no reputation. and took upon him what? The form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's what your Christ did for you. Don't let this thing confuse you. Don't be rushing off into the mall buying stuff you don't need to impress people you don't like. Now, you can buy stuff. Amen. You can give things. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to let you know it ain't about all of that. It's about recognizing Christ and who he is. And by the way, if you're going to spend money, get a budget. Amen. The next thing you know, you'll be singing like Charles Brown. It takes me 6 months to pay my bill. I don't care. Christmas come, but once a year. Yeah, and you can be next Christmas paying off the same bill. But as we think about him coming in the flesh, it did not change his essence. Let me run right on and tell you why we're celebrating this. We're celebrating this because of Emmanuel. This God of eternity now stepped into time. And Matthew 1:23 says, they will call his name Emmanuel. Which being or by interpretation means God with us. God with us. God didn't just want to be above you. God wanted to be with you. He knew the storms and struggles and trials that you would have to face. And so as you go through life, God said, I'm with you. How many of you had him to whisper that to you? When you're in the doctor's office, God will say, I'm with you. Maybe sometimes you've had difficulties in legal matters, and God says in the courtroom, I'm with you. In times of struggle, when things don't go right, God says, I'm with you, because he is your eternal God. So in closing, I want to give you a couple takeaways. First of all, God controlled time from the beginning. He controlled time from the beginning. And if you're living in time, guess who's controlling your life? God is. Second thing, God had you in mind before creation. You're not an afterthought to him. He had you in mind. As a matter of fact, he knew your name before creation. He's the God that knows all things. He knew when you would be born. Just think about it. He knew about December 17, 1952. 6 o'clock in the morning, a midwife over in Charlotte County, Virginia, little place called Red Oak. Amen. Hey, God knew that this boy would be born in his grandma's house, so he prepared the midwife. Amen. God knew about that. God knew about your birth into this world. He knows of the time that you'll draw your last breath, and may your last breath be a praise to God. Lord, thank you for all that you've done. He knew you before time began. Then thirdly, God will be with you. Look at this. Through time and, what's the last one? Eternity. I don't know how long forever is. But guess what? I don't have to figure it out. If God is with me, I'll say, Lord, you know. He will be with you through time and eternity. And then the last thing, refusing the gift does not change it. There are a lot of people that's going to fly past this Christmas season without accepting the gift and without saying, Lord, I recognize your gift in my life. Don't do that. Christmas will have no meaning at all unless it focuses on Emmanuel. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing grace and your awesome love. And Lord, the things I've talked about today, I know it's based on eternity, and I did my best, but yet there's no way to describe all that happened, all that you allowed to take place. But two things we come away with. You came into this world, and you came for us. Thank you for that. Thank you for the amazing gift. Help us all to receive it now. I humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. And all the people said, amen. I want to give the invitation. There may be someone today that has never accepted Christ, or maybe you're seeing Christ in a new light. Maybe you're seeing him differently in all of his glory. I want you to know him. I want you to respond to him, because he is this amazing God. He will love you like no one else, care for you, and keep you through time and eternity. May we all stand.